Chad Olson Show, the SOS Radio Network. Down at the bottom of the hour, we're going to bring in author David Rubin. We have so much to talk with. We had scheduled his appearance even before these events and things happening in Libya with the discovery of these cell phones, with actual video of apparent Gaddafi loyalist soldiers raping Libyan women on them. They've actually captured this video of, in one case, a couple of men sodomizing a woman with the handle of a broom inside her home. Just absolutely horrific behavior on the part of these soldiers as things continue to disintegrate in the Libyan situation. We'll talk about that. And just this overall clash of cultures and clash of civilizations. Is Western society, are we up to the challenge of this global war that is wanted by the militant Islamic faction? That conversation continuing. Chad Olson Show, this is the SOS Radio Network.
The story we're about to tell you is disturbing. What you're about to see, graphic. It appears rape is being used as a weapon in Libya's civil war.
On the front lines of Libya's war, rebel fighters say they are finding a lot more than weapons on captured or killed pro-Gaddafi soldiers. They say they have confiscated cell phones that contain videos showing Gaddafi loyalists torturing and raping Libyan citizens.
The Chad Olson Show.
Yeah, but nothing to see here, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that's happening in these Middle Eastern countries is part of the so-called Arab Spring that we continue to hear praise for on the part of Barack Obama. Oh, it's wonderfully peaceful. It's wonderfully altruistic and idealistic. There's just so much about the human spirit, and in fact, Americans, ladies and gentlemen, have so much to learn from these protesters and from everybody that's involved in these sort of demonstrations and gatherings, because, what do you mean there was a CBS reporter gang-raped in Tahrir Square? I hadn't heard about that. Of course, maybe Obama's right. Given what happened in Boston after the Bruins captured the Stanley Cup and the riots and the car burnings, and the basic civil unrest that took place in Boston here recently after the Stanley Cup victory. Maybe the president's right. Maybe Americans do have a lot to learn about the carriage of culture from folks in the Middle East after what we've seen, simply for winning a hockey trophy. Not sure what to make of that. It is all part of this conversation about the destruction and the devolution of civility of culture in the United States. And what potentially happens in America if this coming economic storm that we believe to be headed our way, if it does come here, as we believe it must, what sort of example then do we set, and what sort of people do we decide to be out in the streets surrounding our homes and our supermarkets and places that essentially are going to be targets for looting and all of that? There's a lot to be talked about there, but demonstrations happening not just in Libya. The revolution is happening and is being attempted in Syria with these massive demonstrations that are now taking place there. Author David Rubin now joins us by telephone to talk about this as we see more and more this sort of breakdown of what's happening. And people are fighting for freedom, David, but boy, I tell you, for me, it's hard to know which side of this to be on. Are we going to get a worse outcome and a worse situation than what we've had already?
Well, it's just getting worse and worse. Every single day we hear about more protests in Syria, which has become the center now of these protests. It's also going on in Yemen and in Libya, as we know, and of course Egypt. If you look at Syria, we have a very interesting situation. There are today, on Friday, there were tens of thousands of demonstrators out in the streets in Syrian cities,
yes,
protesting against the Assad dictatorship. Bashar Assad is the dictator of Syria. And very often when you hear it reported in the news, they make it sound like there's some sort of Arab Spring going on. That's what they call it.
Yes.
There is this idealistic movement of people yearning for democracy in the streets of all these Arab countries.
Well, that's totally the way it's been sold to us, and we've basically been given a lecture by our esteemed commander-in-chief that Americans should be on board with all this, because we should understand that these people are, they have something to teach us about freedom and liberty. But what we see coming, when you're talking about groups of people that are gang raping women, to me, there's something lacking. There's a lot of territory to be covered between Betsy Ross and the Boston Tea Party, and what we see happen out of these demonstrations.
Right. Well, when you hear about these demonstrations, and the way it's been reported in the news, you would think that you just have visions of Betsy Ross, Thomas Jefferson, all the founding fathers and mothers of this country. You know, and there's just so much to learn. And as President Obama said, the protests in Egypt have inspired us. Well, let's look at what we're talking about there. Are these people who are yearning for democracy? Is that really what's going on there? As one who lives in the Middle East, I have to tell you that the protests that are going on are anything but pro-democracy protests. What we are seeing is ethnic rivalry, nothing more and nothing less. Let's take Syria for an example. Okay, why are there so many protests? Why are the most massive protests always on Friday? Because Friday is the day that they come out of the mosques. Friday is their so-called Sabbath day.
Yes.
So they come out of the mosques on Friday. Masses, thousands come out of the mosques, stirred up by the preachers in the mosques, stirred up by the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood is the organization that represents the Sunni Muslims in the Middle East. In Islam, you have two main branches. You have the Sunnis and the Shiites.
That's right.
Sunnis are represented by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Saudi Arabia, by Egypt. And the Shiites are represented by the Ayatollahs of Iran. Now, Bashar Assad, the dictator of Syria, is an Alawite, which is an offshoot of Shiite Islam. And he's a minority. The Alawites in Syria, the Shiites in Syria, are a minority, a small minority, but he's the dictator.
Yes.
So the Sunnis are protesting against Assad, and it's spurred on by the Muslim Brotherhood.
So
that's what's going on in the Middle East. That's what's going on in Syria in particular.
So, David, I mean, what I'm hearing you saying and what I believe about this situation, far be it from having us arrive at something that's going to be a more reasonable or more rational form of democratic rule in the Middle East. Potentially what we're seeing, and I think it's demonstrable, is what we're going to end up with: people in power who have less fidelity for Western culture, and who have as their stated objective, at least if we're dealing with a secularized regime, in my mind, and I think the common and conventional wisdom has been, you're not going to be dealing with somebody who's quite as radicalized and quite as motivated toward the destruction of either Israel or the encouragement of terrorist involvement, or those kind of aggressive notions and terrorist acts toward the United States as well. So if we end up with, if the Muslim Brotherhood replaces somebody like Muammar Gaddafi, that is not a good thing for the United States, correct?
Of course not. But it doesn't mean that the present situation is a good thing either. What you have in the Middle East is a game of musical dictators. Right? Remember the game Musical Chairs that we all used to play when we were children?
Yep.
Okay, you have a game of musical dictators. A Shiite dictator takes over for a Sunni dictator, and vice versa. That's what's going on in the Middle East today. It's nothing more than that. It's nothing less than that. I'm very idealistic. I believe in democracy. I believe in freedom and the freedoms that I personally grew up with in the United States. I may have been the mayor of Shiloh in Israel.
Yes.
But I still identify with those values, and we in Israel identify with those values of freedom. But those people in the Middle East are not identifying with those values. All that we are seeing is ethnic struggle.
But David, I think there's a tendency on the part of those who espouse political correctness to find it insulting or desultory. But I think a lot of Americans wonder if, given the Islamic mindset and the application of the Muslim religion as it exists in its most violent permutation, I think there's a lot of question about whether these people, number one, even want democracy, as we understand it, and number two, whether they're capable of living under it, given the way that they conduct themselves most of the time. Is that insulting to say?
No, not at all. Shad, you are hitting it exactly on the head. What we are talking about is a different mentality. It's a different culture. And if we're going to be respectful of different cultures, we have to understand what those cultures represent. Now, Thomas Jefferson actually went out and bought a Quran. He had his own Quran. And why did he have his own Quran? Because he had to confront the Barbary pirates who were terrorizing American ships at sea.
That's right.
That was the first recorded case of an Islamic terrorist organization terrorizing the West. So Thomas Jefferson went out and he bought himself a Quran. He read the Quran. He educated himself about the mentality of that culture. It didn't mean that he was intolerant of that culture, but he needed to understand a culture that was intolerant of our values. And as a result of that, he sent out the Marines, and they defeated the Barbary pirates. And you know the famous song?
From the shores of Halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
Exactly. And that comes from Thomas Jefferson's decision to read the Quran so that he would educate himself about the Islamic terrorists that were terrorizing American ships at sea. Now, in my book, The Islamic Tsunami, I go into substantial detail about this difference in mentality that we're talking about between Western values and the values of the Islamic world.
Well, and let me say
that is the real issue here.
You do a fantastic job of laying that out. You were kind enough to provide me with a copy of that book, and as I've worked through it, we're talking about David Rubin's book, The Islamic Tsunami: America in Israel in the Age of Obama. And what David is talking about there is his basic excision of the argument about whether you have to be able to understand the differences in culture and mentality. There's this tendency, I think, on our part to just sort of project the way that we look at virtually every aspect of life and believe that we're dealing with people who look at life exactly the same way. And we just sit back and wonder, well, why can't they just be nice? Instead of strapping on a bomb, why can't they just, you know, sit home and watch some reality television? Well, you're dealing with a very different mindset and culture, and it is impossible to be able to understand exactly what motivates that until you understand the belief system and the value system that's been attached and has been exacerbated and inculcated by the Muslim philosophy. And it is a misnomer if you truly get into studying what the Quran says and what Muslim culture values. It is a misnomer to say that Islam is a peaceful religion. Isn't that correct, David?
That is certainly correct, and if I could give you an example, that there was a press release put out by the Hamas terrorist organization just a couple of days ago, in which they proudly announced that they have a record registration for the Hamas terrorist summer camps for children this year. Now, as one who runs the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund.
Yes.
And we support therapy programs for terror victims. And we also support summer camps for children where they learn the values of volunteerism and they learn how to swim and to play soccer and all kinds of nice things. But in the Hamas summer camps, they learn to use weaponry, and they learn about the value of jihad, holy war against people who don't believe in Islam. That's the difference in values.
Now it is a striking contrast. And David, my question, and we can deal with this when we come back: is the West is our idealism potentially a terminal case when we look at our application of political correctness to foreign policy in America, and should America be involved in Syria? We're involved in Libya. Obama's got us in there, and they're now a lawsuit involving the constitutionality or the lack thereof of the application of American troops and resources in Libya. Should America be involved in Syria? We'll ask David Rubin that and get his take on what's currently happening as the Middle East continues to basically go up in flames. Chad Olson Show. This is the SOS Radio Network.
The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.
They call themselves Women to Drive, using the internet and social media sites to get their message across. Their aim, to allow women to be allowed to drive legally in Saudi Arabia.
If I can drive a car by myself, I do not need to have a male relative drive me. I can do my work, meet the needs of the household, such as driving the children to their schools and all the other things I need to do as part of daily life.
The Chad Olson Show. Chad Olson Show.
And we're back on the Chad Olson Show, the SOS Radio Network. Proudly letting women drive in the United States since Henry Ford made it possible for all of us to drive way back in the early 20th century. Isn't it amazing what Western culture, the rights and the liberties and the freedoms that Western culture has attempted to maintain and to allow to thrive and to endure here on God's green earth? We're talking with author David Rubin. He's written the book, The Islamic Tsunami, America and Israel in the Age of Obama. And what a curious and strange age it has been. Foreign policy in America has changed substantially. It has changed specifically in regards to how we deal with the Middle East and the message that's being sent to the Middle East. And there are those that are arguing that Barack Obama has essentially ushered in this sort of age of revolution in the Middle East simply by projecting a weakness that is not backed up the sort of people that we had in place or that we were at least interested in supporting. Because they seem to be a more reasoned and a less volatile commodity to deal with from a foreign relations standpoint than the alternative. Well, we don't do that anymore. We're letting regime changes happen basically by the day over there, and it has brought us to a very different place in history. We wanted to ask David, what's your take on whether the United States should be involved in Syria? We've seen what's happened with Libya. The president facing criticism now about the constitutionality or lack thereof in involving America over there without congressional authority. Should America and do we need to be involved in the situation in Damascus?
I don't think so. I think that any wise person has to know his limitations, and nations as well. I don't think that there is anything positive that the United States can be doing in Syria right now. The United States economy is not in the greatest shape right now, as we know.
No, it's not.
And certainly an understatement. And I just don't see why it is necessary to commit American troops and American resources to these countries that are having their inter-ethnic struggles. We have Syria, and we have Libya, and Egypt as well. What you have going on again is these ethnic struggles and these inter-Arab rivalries. There is no reason why the United States needs to be involved. It's not like there is any faction there that is a good friend of the United States and of the West.
Well, David, in the recent New Hampshire debate, we saw Ron Paul essentially come out and say that we need to bring the troops home from both Afghanistan and Iraq. Immediately, that there's nothing that we're going to be able to do that we there's nothing that we can build essentially over there. Do you believe that would stand the test of time? I mean, we're not, if we can invest all this time and effort, and then as soon as we leave, basically the sea comes in and the sandcastle's gone once again. Is that a good analogy?
Concerning the Islamic world, yes. Concerning the Arab nations in the Middle East, there is no question that it is a waste of time to be putting American resources into their internal struggles. Where I differ with Ron Paul is on the support of Israel.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to let that go without an answer. We can't adopt. I believe it just as Barack Obama's foreign policy is idealistic on its face in dealing with Muslim thought. I think that Ron Paul's worldview is idealistic, and he essentially calls for an abandonment of the Israeli nation state. And there's a tone and a tinge of anti-Semitism overall in his message that that is very troubling to me. That's a topic for another day and another show. But
certainly,
David, we just look at this and we wonder what long-term solution there could possibly be in such a troubled region that would allow for the peaceful existence and coexistence of Israel and the enemies, which have basically stated that they will destroy her. It's a very troubling time.
We need to be consistent with our values. That is the long-term message. And what we need to keep in mind always is what are the values of the West, and we need to stand with those values.
David, we appreciate your time as always, and we'd love to have you back again to continue this conversation about what the future holds for Western society as we try to stand in the gap. The only way to defend liberty and freedom, ladies and gentlemen, is to do it consistently, as David says, not only around the world, but here at home as well. And something tells me that come 2012, we're going to be doing it with a new president in the White House. And it will be a new era and a new time. The only question is how much damage has been done and what will remain to be picked up off the floor of the sort of destruction that's been allowed to fester and take place under the regime of Barack Obama in the United States. Chad Olson Show, this is the SOS Radio Network.